Hello everyone, my name is Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to this podcast, which is the first in our series of five podcasts focusing on how you can be a better colleague. The Institute of Leadership and Management recognises great leadership as being multidimensional. We've identified five dimensions of leadership: authenticity, vision, achievement, ownership and collaboration. We've broken these five dimensions into 49 components, which enable us to organise our content, but also help individuals access the leadership support that is immediately relevant to them. The components I'll be talking about in this podcast is conversation, a component of authenticity, because how we use conversation is absolutely vital to being an effective leader. We've broken this important topic into three parts: the importance of listening, storytelling, and conversational leadership. So what is so important about conversation? Well, essentially, it involves at least two people. And it's not one way, it's two way. So that ability to listen to what people are saying is absolutely fundamental to the success of a conversation. And as Ralph Nichols, the father of listening, as he's been called, identified, if you only transmit, if you talk all the time and don't listen, just use that period when somebody else is talking to get ready for your next bit of talking, they, if they are listening to you, are going to understand so much more about you than you do about them. Fundamentally, we all want to be understood, and the best communicators are the best listeners. They know what it is that the person that they're talking to needs to hear, wants to hear, has to hear. So active listening is such an important part of conversation. I can't really stress it enough. But we're at home at the moment, many of us, working remotely. How do we convey that we're listening to our colleagues when we're video conferencing them or even on the phone? A great way of not only getting to that place of understanding that Ralph was talking about is to ask open-ended questions, not the ones that give you the monosyllabic yes and no, but the how, who, what, when, where questions. Listen to what people tell you and then ask a supplementary question, because that is conveying so clearly that you've listened, you're paying attention, and importantly, you want to know more. They don't have to be brilliant questions like the best of the most incisive of radio and TV journalists, but what they do need to be is encouraging. Go on, tell me more. Oh, I'd like to hear more about that. They're questions. They're telling the person that you're talking to that you're listening and you want to know, you're interested in what they're saying. Work so hard at your listening, and also listen to the tone of voice. Listen to what else is being conveyed. Just as when we're in an office, we pick up body language cues so easily, we don't even know that we're consciously doing it. We can see if somebody's looking less cheerful, more cheerful than usual. There's an energy about them, and our voice is really helpful in conveying that. So if somebody says words, great example is, how are you? I'm fine. That doesn't sound fine. So you can actually say, well, you're not sounding fine. Your voice doesn't say fine, even if your words are saying fine. Use everything we've got. You're using a video conference. Use the audio and visual cues that you're getting from that. And don't be afraid to ask people how they're feeling, how's it going, and draw attention to that mismatch that we sometimes have between words and actions. Another important part of conversation is storytelling. It's interesting to me that storytelling has become so 21st century, as though it's just been invented. How many people have you heard that tell you that they work with stories? The story has been fundamental to how we communicate for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's the way we convey the culture in an organisation. You tell stories about people who used to work here. Stories about your manager when they're not there. Stories inform and tell us. And it's that important social aspect of work that is often conveyed with the stories about what's happened in your life outside work. Everyone tells stories, but we're encouraged to use stories more consciously, I suppose. And we've been encouraged, I suppose, recently to use stories more consciously. And many researchers have looked at stories and tried to distill what it is that makes a story. And it gets down to, depending on who you read, 6 or 7 plots. It always starts with some sort of context. You introduce the main character or characters. Something happens to them or doesn't happen. Events unfold. And then that leads to some sort of solution, some denouement, explanation of what's going on. So think about stories. Think about how much detail we need to tell people. Think about what it is we're trying to, the message that we're getting across. But just as importantly, when people are telling you stories, listen to what they're telling you about themselves. They might well be talking about other people, but how they talk about them, the things that they think are important, the things that they find amusing, the things that they find sad, are actually real insights into the motivation, the personality of the storyteller. Conversational leadership is a term or description of a style or an approach to leadership that's been used increasingly, really in the last 10 years, probably alongside the rise of the importance of storytelling. And those of you who are familiar with the 70-20-10 model of learning that identifies how much time we spend learning informally compared to formal learning from courses and books and lectures, well, understand that that's not really how you go about learning. It's an observation about what happens. And that is essentially conversational leadership. It's an observation that strategy gets translated into operational plans. Operational plans get translated into team plans. Yes, via PowerPoint presentations and spreadsheets and Word documents and other formal written ways of communicating. But the sense that we make of them, the enthusiasm with which they are conveyed, how we deal with questions about them, all of that's done through conversation. So every conversation that takes place in an organisation is potentially an important one. I don't mind the aimless conversation. I don't think you only go to work to progress tasks. And certainly our research has indicated that colleagues are very important. We stay in jobs because we like the people that we work with. Now, how do we know we like them? How do we know we enjoy their company? Not because they're progressing tasks very quickly and efficiently, although, of course, that might be part of it. It's how we enjoy talking to them, how we enjoy being listened to by them, as Ralph Nichols says, how we enjoy the stories that they tell us about what's happened to them. All of that is a recognition that in organisation, things happen as a result of conversations. How many of us have had imaginary conversations with people, practice what we're going to say, say our first line, and then the response is not what we anticipated. We don't have our response ready. We're paying attention to what's happening in the moment. So conversation has to be two-way. We have to be present while it's going on. We have to respond to what's being said. And if we don't listen, we are giving away far more about ourselves than we're gaining from being in that conversation, because a monologue is not a conversation. So in conclusion, I'd suggest we pay attention to the power of conversation in organisations, work very hard on our listening, think about the stories that we tell, think about keeping the attention of our audience, and realise that actually great leaders are great conversationalists, and that doesn't mean great talkers. Thanks for listening. Please do go on to our website, www.instituteLM.com. Download the resources to do with conversation and the other components of being a better colleague.